The following is a paid program. The views and opinions expressed are those of the program sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Spirit 1400 and its management.
Good morning and welcome to Vantage Point, cast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. This is Pastor Reggie Lawrence, pastor of St. Mark's, and I want to welcome you to our continuing series this week on choice. Earlier in the week, we took a look at the fact that God chooses us. How important that is to know that we are the choice of God, that we are not just some arbitrary creation that happened by biological processes, but we are chosen by God. Secondly, we took a look at the fact that we can choose. We choose either life or death. We choose blessings or cursings. We have the power of choice. We have the freedom of choice. We want to look more closely at the choice that we have to make today in our choice of weapons. We choose our weapons. It may come as a surprise to you, or it may not, that we are at war. We are at war. Evidence is all around us. The evidence is in the news. If you turn on the newspapers, you see the fact that there is contention and conflict among nations, in communities, between groups within the community, within families even. We are at war. We find the evidence in our statistics. We find the statistics of how many families are dysfunctional, how many young people are operating below their capacity, how many neighborhoods are in disarray, how many communities are disintegrating. We are at war. And as participants in a war, we have a choice of weapons. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, at the Bible's discussion of our choice of weapons. The Apostle Paul is writing. I'll be reading the New King James Version. You follow along at home. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We have a choice of weapons, and our weapons are either spiritual or carnal. Let's talk about that word carnal for a moment. Carnal means fleshly. It is the root of the word carnivorous. Those animals that eat meat are carnivorous animals. Carnal is flesh. It is natural, physical. Our weapons are not natural weapons. They are not fleshly weapons. They are not physical weapons. They are not sticks and stones. They're not guns and bombs. There's no pushing and shoving. There's no anger or revenge in the weapons that are available to us. We don't use carnal weapons. We are not motivated by selfish motivations or selfish ambitions in our use of weapons or in our choice of weapons. Our weapons are mighty through God. They are spiritual weapons, the weapons that are provided by the Holy Spirit through faith. We use weapons such as truth, justice. We use the weapon of mercy. We use compassion as a weapon. We use the good as a weapon, not in a hostile sense, but as a way of accomplishing the good in the world. I'm reminded of a verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 21 that says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That verse is very interesting in two senses. One, that we are commanded to have a victory over evil. Be not overcome with evil. But secondly, it tells us how to overcome evil, and it is that we should overcome evil with good. If I were to simplify the nature of the weapons that are at our disposal, I would use this word, and that is love. Now, when I say love, I'm not talking about the common conceptions of love. There are many Greek words that are translated into the English word love. There is eros, which is romantic love. There is philios, which is brotherly love. But I'm talking about agape love. That is the perfect love of God, the unconditional love. That is the love between men and God, between God and man, that is perfect in every sense of the word. Dr. Martin Luther King said this during the Birmingham, Alabama voting rights campaign in the 1960s about this idea of agape love. He said, and when you rise to love on this level, you love those who don't move you. You love those who don't like you. You love those whose ways are distasteful to you. You love every man because God loves him, close quote. That is the power of agape love. That kind of love is powerful. That kind of love never fails. We see in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8 that love never fails. It is the most powerful weapon available to any of us. It's the most powerful of any of the emotions. It's the most powerful agent of progress in human affairs. That is the perfect love of God, even coming through the breast of man. Love is the antidote to hate. Love conquers hate. Light is the antidote to darkness. Information is the antidote to ignorance. Help is the antidote to helplessness. These are the weapons that are available to us. These are the weapons that allow us to change the conditions around us, to change the circumstance that we have to deal with, to better the conditions of ourselves, our families, our community. We put to work those things that are given to us by God, because in them there is the power of God. He says in verse 4 of our subject text this morning, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are those places where the enemy has taken refuge and set up his camp and is able to fight effectively against us. But our weapons, the weapons given us by God, are mighty in that they can tear down the strongholds. Think about the stronghold of racial discrimination that confronted the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s. Think about the centuries of tradition of the subjugation of a people, of the marginalization of a people, the oppression of a people. And it was confronted by the love of those who would change that system. There had been violence attempted. There was violence against the civil rights workers, the freedom riders. There had been violence attempted by some who thought that the movement was too nonviolent. But it is the love that was applied in the context of that movement that was able to overcome the evil that they've confronted in the discrimination and racism that had been so prevalent in this nation. The same is true everywhere. Love is the antidote to hate. Dr. Martin Luther King said that darkness cannot overcome darkness. Only light can overcome darkness. And hate cannot wipe out hate. Only love can wipe out hate. We have to use the spiritual weapons that are at our disposal if we want to arrive at a place of victory, if we want to begin to change our lives, if we want to see our families begin to thrive and grow and become healthy, if we want to see our communities become communities that nurture our children, that nurture our hopes and ambitions, if we want to see our nation live up to the true meaning of its creed, if we want to see our world become a world of peace and a world of goodwill, then we have to work with the spiritual weapons that are available to us. We have to work in love. We have to work in truth. Think about our world affairs are fraught with lies and deceptions and self-promotion and the political machinations, and how they obscure the possibility of us ever doing good for the people of the world, because we are working in those instances with fleshly weapons. We're working on the behalf of self or selfish ambitions, nationalistic ambitions, not the ambitions that God would promote. We have to use compassion. We have to have a heart for the welfare of the people whom we are attempting to serve. We have to work with kindness. We have to work with mercy. We cannot hold people bound to the mistakes of the past, but we have to learn to forgive, learn to restore, learn to reconcile. Learn to put ourselves on better relations and put our relationships on a better footing. It should surprise no one that when we imitate the character of God, we begin to see God. We begin to see God in our affairs. We begin to see God in our national affairs, our community affairs. These weapons that we choose are really aspects of the character of God. We are called upon as God's children to look like him. We were created in his image. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And we should take upon ourselves the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. And we should take upon ourselves those attributes that he has and use them as weapons. And if weapons bothers you, call them tools. We should use them in the way we work and operate in our communities, work and operate in our lives. This is one of the major choices that we have. We're going to take a look at another area of choice on tomorrow. Meanwhile, I want to encourage our listeners to look us up online at www.spirit1400.com. These messages are archived there. You can hear them in sequence and in order. You can get the back messages. I encourage you to go to spirit1400.com and bring yourself up to date. Tell your friends to not only tune in 1400, WWIN, but tell them to go online, encourage them, your family members, not just in the local area, but all over the country, wherever they may be, to turn into Vantage Point at www.spirit1400.com. This is Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. We're located at 655 North Bentlow Street in West Baltimore, corner of Landvale. I'm Reggie Lawrence, the pastor of St. Mark's, and until we get together again, keep looking up.